Boy, says we're live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Negler here at Cheesehead TV. That's right. The morning chat. It's back, and I think it's going to become a regular thing. We got such a great response from folks, including Alex Talish in the comments, but especially across the pond, lots of international chatters and Packers fans reached out to say they really liked it and appreciated it. So let's make it a regular thing, shall we? 10 a.m. Eastern, pretty much every day. I'll be doing this live Packers chat here on the YouTube channel. Let's call it Packers Daily, just to keep it in the mix, so to speak. And we'll do that every day. And then if there is breaking news in the afternoon, evening, what have you, I'll do an extra cheese. So there you go, a way to delineate and a way to keep it regular. I'll probably keep the podcast on the Extra Cheese podcast channels. So wherever you're getting that at the moment, you'll get Packers Daily there as well. And yeah, like I said, it was really nice to see such a robust response to a morning chat. So I think they're here to stay. Hello, everybody. How are you? Good to see everybody. Morning, Nagler. Over under 4,000 yards and 30 TDs for Rodgers. Well, seeing as it took a last second Aaron Jones screen pass that was delivered by a miracle, and Jones had to make like three dudes miss for Rodgers to get 4,003 yards this past season, give me the under on 4,000. 30 TDs, give me the under as well, because I think Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, and A.J. Dillon and company will be getting quite a few on the ground. That's just where I sit right now here in July, early July. It's July 6th, and can you believe this? Rookies are set to report on July 21st. That's a little over 2 weeks away, people. Man, time is flying. Time is flying. It feels like I was just at the combine. Then a worldwide pandemic happened, and boom, it's training camp time. Wasn't ready for all that. And what are we doing going to training camp right now with COVID-19 spreading faster and faster throughout the country? Players, coaches, they're all spread all over the country. Now we're all going to bring them into a centralized location in 31 NFL cities. I mean, I don't know. These are decisions that are made way, way, way above my pay grade. But, man, it really feels like they're rushing back into this thing when they shouldn't be. But we'll see. The business of sports, as Andrew Brandt's fond of saying. Jesse is eating cereal. I'm drinking coffee. Hey, whatever you got to do, morning routine. Happy to be part of it. Happy that you're making Cheesehead TV part of your Packers routine. Do you think Jordan Love will actually be good enough to replace Rodgers? I think they might have to keep Rodgers even after 4 years. Four more years of Rodgers? If Aaron Rodgers is the starter after 4 years, I will run down Fifth Avenue naked. Four more years? So, to be clear on that for the internet, so he would have to start a fifth year after 2020 for me to run down Fifth Avenue naked, just so we're all clear. That's not going to happen. Yeah, no, Jordan Love is the man. Do I think he's going to be that good, quote unquote? We'll see. They obviously think he will be. It's all about projecting. It's not about what he did in college. They certainly see a ceiling that is really, really super high. And I'll be shocked if he's not the starter after 3 years, after 2 years, if he starts the third year of his contract. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers in 5 years. That's, man, I don't know. I was going back and watching the last kind of stretch of the season there. And yeah, I can see why they wanted to draft a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is still very, very good, but Father Time is knocking on the door, no doubt about it. Hello from Northern Germany. What's up? Hello from New York City. Boyan G, what's up, buddy? Hope to see you at trivia today. Team stats greater than individual stats? For the most part, I agree. Mark Murphy said that time is no longer on the NFL side. Thoughts on Murphy's comment? I'm glad he's our guy. I mean, he is one voice out of 32, and I really appreciated the Packers getting ahead of things as far as sending out communications to season ticket holders, clarifying that, yes, if you are in the stands, you are going to have to wear a mask. And that is if fans are even allowed at games, which I still don't think they will be early on in the season, maybe as the year goes on. But Yeah, I did note that comment. The time is no longer on the NFL side, and you know, he's right. They've been afforded the luxury of time this entire offseason with, you know, being able to hold the draft virtually, all the Zoom meetings for their offseason workouts, etc. But now, you know, rubber's about to meet the road, and I think we have a long way to go. A long way to go. I mean, a lot of ball game left before we actually see the decision to go ahead and not only, you know, hold training camp, but have preseason games and maybe, you know, even have a season, at least the start of one. Look, no one wants the season to start on time more than myself. I mean, you guys know, diehard Packers fan, can't wait for football season. I eat, sleep, breathe, live for the Green Bay Packers. Want to see them on the field. Man, doesn't feel right now, does it? Just the old tenor of the country, everything going on, pandemic, guys testing positive. I don't know, man. I just don't know. Do I think he'll be better than Rodgers or just cheaper? Oh, talking about Jordan Love. It doesn't matter if he's better. No one's going to be better than Rodgers. Rodgers is one of the best to ever play the game. You can't keep the best to ever play the game for 100 years. Eventually, you have to move on. And they think Jordan Love is their guy. He's not. The chances of him being better than Aaron Rodgers are infinitesimal. But he doesn't need to be better than Aaron Rodgers. He just needs to be Jordan Love. He just needs to be good enough for them to win football games with, which, in their determination, he will be. We'll find out. But here's the other thing. Do I think he'll be better than Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers isn't better than Aaron Rodgers right now. Go back and watch last season again. You know, there are so many plays where you're like, man, 5 years ago, Aaron Rodgers rips that ball and it's a touchdown. Now he pulls it down, maybe runs with it, maybe throws it out of bounds, etc. He's not the player he was. He's not the player that everyone seems to have, like, you know, kind of stamped in their mind. He's still one of the best in the game. No question about it. One of the best to ever lace him up. No doubt. But time marches on. And Father Time is saying, what's up, Mr. Rodgers? It's time for you to start thinking about shuffling off stage right. How great could Nick Collins have been if he hadn't gotten hurt? And how bad do you think it hurt the team both short and long term? Well, the long term effect was devastating in the sense that it took them forever to find a competent replacement. You know, short term, I don't think there's any doubt they probably would have been in much better shape in those playoff games. And who knows, maybe they win a few more games in the regular season. They're playing some of those games at home. But yeah, he could have been a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about that in my mind. I think he was on the path to being a great, I don't know about one of the greatest ever, but definitely a great safety in the NFL. And it's just a damn shame, man. And the Packers seem to have really bad luck with that type of injury. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. I still blame Corona on the movie Cats. I mean, I've heard weirder theories. I'll take it. Think we'll miss Blake Martinez by the end of the year? That's an interesting question, Alex. No, not really. I mean, I do think he was obviously productive. I mean, the guy had 100-plus tackles. Pretty much you could set it in stone every year. But I think a lot of that was down to the design of the defense and what he was asked to do in the scheme. I'm not saying you can plug anybody in there, but I do think with Kirksey, what the athleticism you see from Jamal Martin, maybe Curtis Bolton surprises, I think they have enough on hand to maybe not one player gets all that production, but I think they'll be okay. I don't think missing Blake Martinez is going to be a monster drop-off on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, the thing that really hurts them is, you know, or could potentially hurt them is what happens up front. Does Kenny Clark get some help? Does Kingsley Keke get on the field more and develop? Because unless that happens, I don't see much difference in this team in last year's. I mean, there were a couple acquisitions along the way, you know, picked up, what's his name, from the Dolphins off waivers, etc. But, you know, for the most part, it's similar. Maybe Trayvon Hester is a big addition. To me, that what's going on around Kenny matters a whole hell of a lot more than you know, whatever they lose from not having Blake. John Thomas, thanks for the super chat. Is it zero dark beer yet? No, it is coffee o'clock. Thank you, good sir. Is this EQ and MVS's last chance? Well, for MVS, yes. For EQ, I don't think so, because obviously he lost a year due to the injury. This will be his first year in this scheme, so I think he'll have some time to prove himself. With MVS, I don't think there's any question. You saw a lack of confidence, a loss of confidence, both from the coaching staff in him and with MVS kind of losing confidence in himself a little bit as the year went on. But, yeah, I mean, he has to win a job first. I mean, him making the squad is no given. And I know it sounds weird because he's a draft pick, and traditionally in Green Bay, that means you've got a pretty good chance of making it. But with as little – not as little, but they don't use the wide receiver position the same way that they did under McCarthy. So the need to keep as many wide receivers is not as great, which means there may, you know, if it comes down to, well, we want to keep four tight ends, well, that means we have to lose a receiver. Well, that makes it a little easier to lose a receiver. So, yeah, MVS, I do think, yeah, it's probably his last shot. But, I mean, we got a long way to go. Injuries always kind of come into play each and every summer, each and every camp. And who knows what happens there. Maybe that affords him more opportunity because someone goes down and then he takes it and runs with it. You know, you never know how it's going to shake out once, you know, practices start and they hit the field. But yeah, in a vacuum, it's probably his last shot. Can Funchess make a difference, or will he be like Ryan Grant from last year? Oh no, Funchess is very different than Ryan Grant. Funchess will get an opportunity. Now, I'm interested to see, you know, how quickly he assimilates to this scheme and how, you know, soon he's able to gain Aaron Rodgers' trust, because we all know it's, you know, anybody who's watched the Packers for a long time knows how important it is for Rodgers to trust you, to be where you're supposed to be, to read the field like he sees it. And if you don't, you're not going to get a lot of opportunities. And that's especially important for a guy who throughout his professional career has struggled with drops. You know, now Rodgers would say, you know, the physical errors are things you can live with. It's the mental ones that you can't abide, so to speak. And I don't know where he qualifies, what a drop has to look like for it to be a mental error as opposed to a physical one. But, you know, he went back to James Jones a ton and he had struggles with drops. So Davante Adams, too. So I think as long as Funchess is in the right spot, learns the scheme, learns the adjustments, he'll get every opportunity to affect the offense, no doubt about it. Do we get any significant development from Ty Summers? I liked his big engine. His big engine. Well, he was sideline to sideline. That's no doubt about that. He was everywhere. Now, he missed a ton of tackles. Looked bad doing it. But he also made a ton of plays. A ton of tackles. Yeah, I don't know. The year one to year two jump thing is so dependent on guys getting after it individually. And obviously we're not privy to any of that in the offseason, especially this year since we didn't have any on-field work. I think there's a slight possibility that he's in the mix there. I know they love him on teams, and he definitely showed out there. I'm not going to put a lot of faith in it, but it could happen. Sure. I'm late, but I'm here, Evan. Salud. Good morning. How do you compare Jace to JerMichael Finley? I think JerMichael's probably a bit more physical at the catch point, but I think Jace has got a little bit more speed, at least play speed. And I think Jace is a bit more fluid in and out of his breaks. And that's not to take anything away from JerMichael, because I think you guys, if you've been around, Alex Talish will tell you I was a big JerMichael Finley defender back in the day. He's another guy who struggled with drops, clearly. But yeah, I think Jace is just a little bit more fluid as an athlete. And I'm interested to see. What's funny, too, is like people don't talk about it. TJ put up a couple clips earlier this offseason about what a good blocker JerMichael was. And that never got talked about. And we saw this past season, what a surprisingly good blocker Jace was. I mean, that is something I definitely didn't see coming. So if he can keep that up, he'll definitely be, you know, on the field quite a bit, both to be utilized in the passing game and in line as a blocker and probably in the backfield as an H-back and all over the formation, really. Kind of like JerMichael Finley was. Nathan, thank you for the super chat. My extremely bold slash optimistic slash batshit crazy prediction is that Devin Funchess will be more productive than Cam Newton in 2020. I'm just going to let your comment speak for itself, Nathan, because I'm not sure how I feel about it. Sure. Why not? Alex, I still prefer Tom Crabtree. Well, I hear you. We all prefer a Tom Crabtree. I mean, I like when he runs his mouth and I whoop his butt at Madden. I'm sorry. Where were we? So Kumerow is apparently like one of the best blocking wide receivers in the NFL. Rodgers trusts him, whatever that means. Is he just a guy as a receiver? I mean, I don't know if he's just a guy, but he is not as the measurables aren't there comparative to his peers. Rodgers does trust him, though. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, as far as lightning quickness slash speed, separation, things of that nature, he's a little pedestrian. There's no doubt about it. But I tell you what, I was just watching tape of him like on that play against the Bears where he seals the edge against the defensive end. And there's that play against Seattle where he takes on Clowney, where Jones gets in the end zone. And that guy is not afraid to block, no doubt about it. But yeah, comparatively, I think it's going to be tough for him to see a ton of time. But you guys know I love Kumerow. We'll see what camp brings. Biggest year two impact from last year's draft class? That'll be Jay Sternberger. Lock it up. Where do you see us ranking in yards per carry this year? It's an interesting question. I'll say top 10. How's that? I mean, I think there'll be a lot of volume. I think they'll have every opportunity. I think a lot of it will be situational in the way of last year, early on in the season, they had a lot of problems on early downs, and they got themselves in bad situations, like 2nd and 12, 3rd and 8, etc. And that kind of evened out and smoothed out as the year went on. If they can, you know, improve in that area early in the season, and who knows with whatever training camp ends up looking like, what the run game is going to look like. I do think they can improve a little bit, but we'll see. Good morning, Nags. Sterling Sharp, top 5 slash Hall of Famer, all-time receiver. If career wouldn't have been cut short, can only imagine the numbers he would continue to put up more seasons with Brett. Oh, Chad, 1,000,000,000%. He's the greatest wide receiver I've ever seen, and that includes Randy Moss. Sterling Sharp was a man among boys. He was just incredible. And there's no telling the numbers he would have put up had he stayed healthy. And it's an absolute Travis Sham mockery that he is not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How much do you think the pace of the offense improves this year? Oh man, that's a good question. I want to say they're going to start pumping up the tempo a little bit and start getting to the line of scrimmage with a sense of urgency. But then I remember it's Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and he's never really kind of shown that as a regular tool in his toolbox. It's not something he gravitates to. He's always taking his time. He's got the laconic thing going. Get up to the line, read the defense, call out the adjustments, take it down to 1 second, blah, blah, blah. We all know the drill, right? I know LaFleur talked about, you know, adding wrinkles and or a hurry-up mode this offseason. We talked to a couple of the guys about that, and Aaron had mentioned it as well. Aaron had mentioned his surprise during last training camp that they hadn't worked on hurry-up situations or two-minute offense, etc. But, you know, you can preach it till the cows come home, and God knows LaFleur did last summer. But yet there they were week in and week out, you know, burning timeouts out of a fucking TV timeout or burning a timeout because they got the play clock down to 1 second. No sense of urgency in and out of the huddle. No sense of urgency after big plays. It's just at some point, you know, we all wanted to blame McCarthy and the operation when he was head coach, etc. But then it all kind of continued last year. At some point, you got to look at the common denominator, and that is Aaron Rodgers. So unless Aaron decides, okay, it's time to get some hitching my giddy up, I think it's going to be more of the same. But we'll see. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. You say you used to work in Oshkosh. I went to UWO and worked at the Skechers outlet near EAA. I did. I worked at that same outlet mall. I helped open the Ralph Lauren store. That's right there at the end. And EAA was always a huge week. And that is where I sold Travis Jervy a polo. I sold Brett Favre a polo at the polo store in Appleton before we moved to Oshkosh. Thanks for that trip down memory lane. Joseph, thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, is there another Packer from the 90s that should be in the Hall of Fame that currently is not? Possibly irksome to you? Yes, Leroy Butler, and you know this. You're just trying to get me going, and you've succeeded. So well done to you. Gold star to Joseph. Leroy Butler should have been in decades ago. But it's way too early to get that upset. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to jump. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out. We're going to be doing this every day, Packers Daily, every day, 10 a.m. Eastern. I don't know what to do other than subscribe so that you get the alert when I'm live. Tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. And Patreon members, don't forget, we're back with our Zoom happy hours starting tomorrow night, 6:30. The info is on the Patreon page. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. If there's any news breaking, anything going on in the NFL world we want to talk about, I'll be back with Extra Cheese later tonight. Otherwise, join Perry and I at 5:30 for Cheesehead TV's live Packers trivia. It's always a ton of fun. Hope to see you there. Have a great day, everybody. Go Pack, go.